Hello and welcome to this session of What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in beautiful Jasper, Georgia. We hold our services at 1191 East Church Street every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. and every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12:30. What we do is we take a book of the Bible and we go chapter by chapter and verse by verse to see what does the Bible say. So if you join me in Bible study this morning, if you just please open up your Bibles and let's look at it and see what does the Bible say.
See all the people that you had a hand in bringing to the Lord, people that you witnessed to, people that you shared with, and see them standing in the kingdom instead of burning in the lake of fire. You're going to rejoice and rejoice and rejoice. 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4 is where Paul tells Timothy, son, you better preach the word. Don't tickle people's ears. Tell them the truth whether they want to hear it or whether they don't. 2 Timothy 4, 8. I'm not God, I can't judge, but I'm going to get me this crown. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. What day? Day of the Lord. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. I'm looking forward to the Lord's coming. I'm going to get me that crown. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Verse 12. James 1:12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, that is, doesn't give in to it. For when he has been approved, he received the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Scripture says, what? If you love me, keep my commandments. So let's not miss verse 27, James 1:27, same chapter. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. Wouldn't you like to know what does the Lord consider right? Mm-hmm. To visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So it's not just let's be righteous in our relationship to God, but we also have to be caring and loving to our fellow people in need. 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5. And yeah, there's a reason. And we'll get to the reason in a minute for all this. Come on. 1 Peter chapter 5. That's probably before 2 Peter. Huh? 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 4. We'll start in verse 2 for context. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you. What's it mean to shepherd the flock of God? It means to lead them. Don't let them go astray. Lead them right. Serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly. That is, do it because you want to, because you care about the people of God and about his kingdom.
Is that also lead without compulsion?
It's talking about
you put it out there for them, and if they follow, they follow, but you can't make them, and you don't try to make them follow?
That's more where he says, don't cast your pearls before swine. Yeah. But that is a valid biblical point. It says, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. So you're not supposed to lead a congregation for physical wealth. Not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. That is, lead by example, not by a whip and two before. And when the chief shepherd appears, that's Messiah Yeshua, not Peter, You receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. And lastly, before we get to the point, is Revelation 2:10. Revelation 2:10. Revelation 2:10 says, "Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. You will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." Now, with all that background, let's go back to verse 4 and see what the point is. When did Messiah say we get our crowns? At his coming, at his appearing. So the 24 thrones have 24 elders, which are raptured and resurrected people, clothed in white robes with their crowns of gold. Which means the rapture and resurrection has come. Verse 5, "And from the throne proceeds lightnings and thunderings and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God." Why the reference to the lightning, thunderings, and voices? Exodus 19. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 19. It lets us know that this Lord is the same Lord who came down on Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19, verses 16 to 19. Exodus chapter 19, verses 16 to 19. "Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled." What do they call that trumpet in Judaism? The first trump. "And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. When the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice." So this refers us back to Exodus chapter 19, which is where God betroths Israel to himself and begins to reveal the commandments, statutes, and judgments to the people. What are we going to be judged upon? The commandments, statutes, and judgments. So it's a reminder that this Lord who is judging us in Revelation 4 is the same Lord who gave the commandments in the first place. And we also saw in verse 5 that seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. That's from Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11. So again, it identifies it with Yeshua, our Messiah. Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 3. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse." Who is that rod? That's Yeshua. "And a branch shall grow out of his roots." Verse 2 is the sevenfold Spirit of God. Number 1, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Number 2, the Spirit of wisdom. 3, and understanding. 4, the Spirit of counsel. 5, and might. 6, the Spirit of knowledge. 7, and of the fear of the Lord. That is the sevenfold Spirit of the Lord, which is standing in the temple in heaven. Tell me about the menorah that stood in the tabernacle on earth, because there's one in heaven. It's how many branches? Seven. It's got seven lights on top. It is being fed by how many bowls of oil? Just one. So it's the olive oil represents the Holy Spirit, and there are seven attributes of the Holy Spirit, but there's only one Holy Spirit. So again, Revelation 4:5 confirms for us that it's the same Messiah that is the shoot that came out of the stump of the throne of Jesse. Verse 6. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal. In the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and back. First, the sea of glass is called the laver. And the laver, or sea of glass, was an item in the tabernacle on earth and later the temple, because there's one in heaven. And that laver was a brass bowl, brass being a picture of judgment, full of water, water representing the Holy Spirit and holiness and purity. Let's go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 4. 2 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. This is going to describe for us the sea of glass, or the laver, the bronze laver, that was to be made to stand in the tabernacle on earth, because there's one in the temple in heaven. 2 Chronicles 4, verses 2 to 6. Then he made the sea, that's the laver, of cast bronze, 10 cubits from one brim to the other, was completely round. Its height was 5 cubits, and a line of 30 cubits measured its circumference. That's just its size. And under it was the likeness of oxen, encircling it all around, 10 to a cubit, all the way round the sea. The oxen were cast in two rows when it was cast. It stood on 12 oxen, three looking toward the north, three looking toward the west, three looking toward the south, and three looking toward the east. What's that the same as? The tribes of the children of Israel gathered around the tabernacle. The sea was set upon them, and all their back parts pointed inward. That is, only the head stuck out the front. It was a handbreadth thick, and its brim was shaped like the brim of a cup, like a lily blossom. It contained 3,000 baths, which is just a measure of water. He also made 10 lavers and put 5 on the right side and 5 on the left to wash in them. Such things as they offer for the burnt offering, they would wash in them, but the sea was for the priest to wash in. In other words, the priest had to wash from this laver to, in a picture, put on the Holy Spirit upon themselves to make themselves pure before they could go in and perform the priestly duties. Back to Revelation 4:6. So before the throne was a sea of glass like crystal. That represents the holiness of God. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and back. Full of eyes meaning they see everything. Nothing is hidden. It doesn't say, but these guys probably have little iPads where they're typing in rapidly everything. Did you see what she did? Did you see what he did? Keeping track of all that we do. And it merely indicates that nothing we do is hidden. The Lord knows all. Verse 7, the first living creature was like a lion. Lion signifies power and majesty. The second living creature like a calf. A calf represents endurance. Calf or ox is what they used to plow with, because the ox could plow all day long. The third living creature had a face like a man, believe it or not, representing intelligence. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle, which represents speed of judgment. Let's go back to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1. In Ezekiel chapter 1, Ezekiel sees the throne of God. And in verse 5 of Ezekiel 1, it says, "Also from within it came the likeness of four living creatures." Just like we're reading about in Revelation chapter 4. If we go to verse 10, it's going to describe these four living creatures. "As for the likeness of their faces, each had the face of a man. Each of the four had the face of a lion on the right side. Each of the four had the face of an ox on the left side. And each of the four had the face of an eagle." In other words, the same creatures are what we're seeing at the throne of God in Revelation chapter 4. They're the same creatures we saw in Ezekiel chapter 1 when the Lord came down to judge Israel. Right before the Shekinah glory of God, that dwelling presence, departed from the temple, and Judah fell, Jerusalem fell, the temple was destroyed. So when the Lord came down on his judgment seat to judge the nation, these four living creatures were with him, just like they are in the book of Revelation. Back to Revelation 4, verse 8. "The four living creatures, each having six wings." Each having six wings. Where did we read about six wings? In Isaiah 6. "The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within," which shows complete and perfect knowledge. "They do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." What did they cry in Isaiah 6? Holy, holy, holy. So Isaiah saw the same thing that John is seeing. He just didn't describe it in so much detail. Five times in Revelation, we're going to see the cry, holy, 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 aren't we? Let's go to Revelation 1:4. No, it's not the holy, holy, holy. It's who was and is to come, which is the second part of what they're crying. Revelation 1:4, "John, to the seven churches which are in Asia," which means Turkey, "grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come." That's talking about Messiah. What does it mean, who is? He exists now. He was resurrected. He's Psalm 110:1 is sitting by the right hand of the Father. What does it mean, who was? He always was. "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And who is to come?" He's the same Lord who was in the beginning, who is now, who is going to come and bring judgment upon the earth. Revelation 1:8. "I'm the Alpha and the Omega," or in Hebrew, "I'm the Aleph and the Tav, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." What does it mean, the Almighty? It means El Shaddai. El Shaddai, the Almighty God. Power over nature, power over all creation. Revelation 11:17. Revelation 11:17. The 24 elders say, "We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come." We know that's talking about Messiah Yeshua, but they call Messiah Yeshua Lord God Almighty. I've been told by many people, nowhere in the scripture does it say Yeshua is God. But it does all over the place. It really does. Revelation 16:5. Revelation 16:5. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, "You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be," meaning is to come, "because you have judged these things." More later. First, back to Isaiah. No, let's go to Revelation 4:8. We've been to Isaiah 6:1-4. I just made a note to remind everybody about it. They cry, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Reminds us that Yeshua is not just a flesh and blood man born of two human parents 2,000 years ago. No, he is God from the beginning who created all things. Let's look back at John 1:1 for a moment. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt or tabernacled amongst us. That is, took on a body of flesh and blood to be born of Mary so that he could later be crucified, because you can't crucify a spirit. Look also at Colossians chapter 1, which reminds us that all things were created through Messiah. Without him, nothing was made that was made. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Starting in verse 16. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. So Revelation 4 is trying to get us to understand that Yeshua is God from all eternity, who came down in human physical form to be crucified, buried, and resurrected, to ascend back up to his heavenly glory, to sit upon the mercy seat in the temple in heaven, to rule and reign, and to judge all things. And notice, they do not rest day or night. That is, they continually, without ceasing, untiringly, cry out about the holiness of the Lord our God, who was and is to come. Verse 9 says, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. And when do they do that? All day and all night without ceasing. So whenever they do that, verse 10 says, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. We just looked at John 1:1. We just looked at Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. These are very consistent. Ooh, time's really going fast, isn't it? Well, maybe not for you. Okay. So let's summarize Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. Right now, we are ticking along the very last moments of what we may call the church age. Waiting patiently or impatiently, as the case may be, for the Lord to blow that trumpet and to shout. That relates back to the old Jewish wedding ceremony that the ancients tell us came down from Mount Sinai with Moses. Whether it did or not, we'll find out. But in that wedding ceremony, the bridegroom goes to the bride's house and negotiates a bridal contract called a ketubah, which gives the promises. Here's what the bridegroom will do for the bride. Here's what the bride will do for the bridegroom. And pays the bride price for the bride to the bride's father. And then the bride is called in, and she's offered a cup of wine. If she drinks it, she's betrothed. Remember Messiah said, if you don't drink it a cup, you'll have no part of me. If she won't drink from a cup, she refuses the bridegroom. When she drinks, they're betrothed. She spends her time getting ready with a lamp burning in the window at night, watching for the coming of the bridegroom. He's gone back to his father's house to build the bridal chamber. He must spend at least 1 year, not more than two, and he doesn't get to decide when the bridal chamber is ready. So if you ask the bridegroom, when's the wedding? The answer has always been, no one knows but my father. When the father says the bridal chamber is ready, go get your bride, he must take a witness with him. There's none of this traveling alone. And they can't go to the bride's house. They have to stop a distance away. They blow a trumpet and shout. And the bride, who's made herself ready, comes out to meet the bridegroom and the witness. And together they go back to the bridegroom's father's house for the marriage. And then they spend 7 days in the bridal chamber by themselves, which pictures the 7 years of the tribulation period, at the end of which the bridegroom and the bride come out of the bridal chamber, are presented to the world, and then the bridal supper is had at the bride's house. So it just, chapter 4 just fits so well into that ceremony that I just have to believe that it truly did come from God. And when the trumpet blows, the dead in Messiah are raised first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. It says, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. And then in chapter 4, we see the judgment seat. Messiah sits in the judgment with the thrones around. And then we see that those standing before him have received their robes and their crowns, which are promised to us when the Lord comes to get us. And let us turn in closing to John chapter 14 one more time. John chapter 14, verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions or bridal chambers. God bless you. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. You is the individual believer. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That's Revelation chapter 4. That where I am, there you may be also. Which fits in with 1 Thessalonians 4, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Once the bridal chamber has been emptied as the bridegroom and the bride come out, they're always then from that point forward together. One heart, one soul, one spirit. What the Lord God has put together, let not man put asunder.
Well, that's about all the time we have for today, folks. If you've enjoyed this Bible study and you want more information on what we teach, please go to our website at www.john1415.org, where you'll find all of our Bible studies for the past 3 or 4 years in MP3 format, organized by book. And we've covered just about every book of the Bible. So you can listen online, or you can right-click on the link and download the file to your iPhone, iPad, or however you like to listen to your teachings. May God bless you. We'll see you next week.